and they've been very supportive. The EDC has endorsed the project and offered support, as well as Bean Advantage, as well as CVB. You know, and then now is getting down into more of to the point where we get down into the details.
What is the shape of the project right now?
So right now we've put together a high-level master plan on what we have a portion of the land out there, and putting that together in terms of the needs that we have heard from within the community, and what we're able to be able, what is able to be programmed out there.
What are the needs?
So the needs, obviously, the catalyst in the conversation is the soccer fields being relocated from the airport. However, when you look at some of the other complexes, the more sustainable ones are a multi-sports, multi-use complex. And so digging into what others are doing and what they have, that was more the approach from a sustainability factor that we went with, looking at that there's a big lacrosse interest in the area, rugby, cricket. Cricket was one I would not have guessed was a big need in the community. But
there are at least a couple leagues.
Yeah. And they don't have a lot of places to play. A cricket field is really, really big. It's takes about 2.5 soccer fields, and so it's a very unique area and playing surface. So it's really hard to get that facility someplace in a public area.
Is it possible to have both on the same turf?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Being creative with the layout and how the fields are joined and structured, you can have them. You'd be painting different lines for the different games, but yes.
So what's phase one?
So phase one is a couple hundred acres, and we're really in the point of defining what that scope is, coming at it from a standpoint of what can be programmed on it, what can then sustain the operating budget, and then really a lot of back and forth as to, okay, well, we need this to have this tournament. What does that look like cost-wise? So right now it's a lot of back and forth to define what is phase one.
What is the rough cost of phase one?
That's what we're trying to define right now.
I've heard estimates of up to $50 million by the time all phases are complete. Is that in accordance with the vision?
I would say all phases, when we look at a public-private sector for phase one and looking at the different aspects for privates to, investments to come into the deal, I would say that would be low. From a private sector, once we have, once that ripple effect starts to take hold, I would say that would be more than $50 million.
So define some of the private sector opportunities in this mm-hmm. in this complex.
So medical facilities, obviously with having a sports complex there, attracting certain tournaments require medical facilities to be on site, whether that is, you know, a prompt care or you know, any kind of variation thereof. Some private physician offices have expressed interest to go out to there. Restaurants have expressed interest to go out to there as well, and different offices as along with that as well.
I've even heard talk of a skating rink. Is that in the cards?
Yes, it is. That was, I would say, a gem. My family is a hockey family. I have a husband who plays probably 3 times a week, comes over here from Peoria to play as well. And I have 2 sons that play, and I was really shocked that there was as much demand for an additional sheet of ice in this city. And there actually has already been an investor group that went and did a third-party due diligence study and has that data. And that was very interesting to discover.
So is that a sooner rather than later phase?
That is, I believe, where if we can get the initial phase as the catalyst, that is, I believe, one of the ripple effects that will happen sooner rather than later.
On the same land or nearby land or?
Yes.
Which?
there's a potential to be on an adjacent piece of property.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. We're talking with Katie Kim of the Kim Group about the potential for a multi-sport complex on the west side of Bloomington Normal. What are next steps?
So next steps is to really define cost, usage and scope of work for phase one and get that defined and be able to present that to the public, to council, to supporting entities.
That's what, 20 soccer fields?
Could be anywhere between 16 to 26 soccer fields. And really, the soccer fields are the biggest pitch, the biggest field. So a rugby field, a lacrosse field, a lot of other sport fields can fit on a soccer field. As I said before, the cricket fields take about 2.5 fields. But that was one that was, if we lay it out, would serve a lot of the multi-sports that we're looking at. And even multi-use, one of the interesting questions we had with said, are you going to have a champion field? And we said yes. And then the second question was, are you going to have a press box? And we said, well, yeah, that would be in the cards. And the option, the question was, could we have marching band competitions there? Absolutely. And ISU had shared that they have a marching band type of competition that that would be able to potentially leverage those fields or expand into that area as well. So that, again, different conversations, different uses, as people could imagine the usability of that field.
What kind of revenue stream does all that produce per year, and who gets which piece of the pie?
That definitely is a great question, and that comes down to then what's the scope and ownership of the facility as well, and that's where we're into digging into the details.
What's the public portion of this?
Again, we're going back to defining I don't mean to be a broken record, but defining that scope. What we're looking at first and foremost is what are the economic development tools that we have to use right now at this point in time in that area, and starting from that, and starting from the scope and the defined revenue that we would be able to confirm within the community now. So obviously the soccer fields moving from the airport ground, having them say, yes, if you build this, we would commit. And that commitment looks like this, you know, this much funding, this much usage. They currently have a tournament, and they have, I believe, about 168 teams currently that do it. And they do once a year tournament at this point in time. So
how transparent do you and Dave Stark need to be to secure public buy-in and to make sure everybody gets a fair profit, but that mm-hmm. the taxpayers and their commitment are well served as well? How do you assure that?
Yeah, once we define the scope and really define the project, I think you have to have full transparency anytime you have public money in there. But to get to the point where we're at to define it, you have to have that first. You have to have what's the project, what's the scope, and that's where we're at, is to getting the needs, to getting what's the appetite defined.
What is your timeline?
My timeline would be as soon as possible, looking at different areas around the country and looking at their facilities and whether they're planning expansions or whether there are other cities planning to do developments like this. You really want to get first to market. So timing, I think, is very critical and of the essence. We're looking to be able to define that scope. And that goes with defining the scope, defining the price, defining the operating income and expenses in my time frame, in a perfect world, would be in June of this year, and then starting to socialize that, getting that feedback, and there's going to be revisions and adjustments to it.
If you were that close, then share with us some ballparks mm-hmm. with the understanding that this is not set in stone.
Yep. Yeah, and I've actually committed not to share that until we have that scope defined with a group. So,
who are the stakeholders at this point? There's you. There's Mr. Stark.
Mm-hmm.
Who else?
Well, right now, I mean, that's pretty much who owns the land and who has the opportunity. The city, the town, are entities that we are talking to at this point. We're talking with, the hotel associations. Obviously, this would be a big impact to their rooms and to their economics. And then also the private sector. You know, with the other facilities around town, naming rights is a big revenue and big funding source of this as well. So again, we have to socialize that idea with them, but without having that defined scope of what it is, there's no ask, there's no defined dollar amount at this point.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. Katie Kim is the CEO of the Kim Group, who's working with Dave Stark to on a multi-sports complex on the west side. With so many moving parts, and with you being a third-generation firm, mm-hmm. how many of these projects come a cropper and fail to come to fruition, and how many actually mm-hmm. become a reality? What's the average industry success on something that is this bold a vision?
That's a great question. When you have a lot of moving parts, there's a lot of opportunities for failure. There's if one person doesn't see an opportunity the same way, they can ruin the whole project. Bluntly, with the Trefskers Bakery that we did in Peoria Heights, that was about a year and a half to 2 years in the planning phases. That had seven entities. It had the village, it had SBA, it had a bank, it had the county, it had investors, it had the business owners in there, it had a historical tax credit associated with it. So there was a lot of moving parts that went back and forth. So a lot of times, as long as everybody has the right mindset and they're all at the table and see the win and they express what they need to get either out of the deal or they need to understand and make it clear, it can move quick in terms of relative terms, but a lot of times it will take a lot to go back and forth, a lot of time.
Rockford just did a multi-sports complex, mm-hmm. and you had mentioned timing is critical because of competition. Mm-hmm. Who else is competition for Bloomington Normal, for the business that this kind of sports complex could bring?
Peoria. I mean, they did the Louisville Slugger. They have their East Side complex. They have some pretty aggressive plans for expansion. They would be the closest one. Other than that, there's Westfields right outside of Indiana or Indianapolis. And then on the, I think it's the west side of St. Louis, they have a complex right now that's in operation.
For regional or state level soccer events or other sports complexes, other sports kinds of tournaments, though, is Indiana really competition? They're going to turn to their own marketplace, which is Indiana, right?
Well, some of these tournaments are 14, 17 state tournaments. So there is a huge draw for these type of tournaments. With the association with Chicago Fire, with the local one of the local clubs, I would say, bringing them in and getting more of a national exposure to workshops, to training camps. Those are a different pull, a different draw. Most of the people around the state here, if you go to lacrosse, you're going to Chicago for tournaments. Different sports have those different areas, but looking at, again, asking the question, if we build this, will you come? And the amount of tournaments and the creativity and the events. CVB found the opportunity for a kite-fighting tournament where I can hardly fly a kite, so to imagine to actually fight them with a strategy would be intense. But those types of events that once we would have the complex, we could program in. But first and foremost, looking at what do we have locally that can use it and can help with the operating funds and can make the project be sustainable.
Is there a danger that with Rockford and with Peoria moving ahead, that the marketplace and Indiana and perhaps other states, that the marketplace will be saturated and that the revenue stream will become less than it initially is?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's always that opportunity, right? Competition, open market, we can't control what other people can do. The advantage is to get to market, to create those relationships, to create those experiences for those tournaments, to have people come and get to know the community and say, wow, Bloomington Normal is a great place to go visit. One of the great aspects as to where Interchange City West is it's really sandwiched by College Avenue and Market Street. And it has, the Connect station out there. And so for a lot of the tournaments, you could have a bus take from from the park and go down to Uptown back to their hotel or down to a restaurant, circle over to downtown and then come back, or, you know, leave the complex and go to downtown and then Uptown and then back. You know, there's a lot of great access, and that was one of the key pieces in talking to different businesses to bring them into town, to look at doing this facility here. You know, you're right by the interstate, you're right by 74 or 55, you have the Market Street exit right there. It's a great access point on and off. Bloomington Normal has great intermodal. You have the train, you have the airport, you know, and one of the, again, the ripple effect, and to talking about the complex and talking about any development that we do, we talk about adjacency and ripple effect a lot. There is a sports company. There's focus on sports and retail and medical that is interested in locating in Bloomington Normal because of conversation of this complex. And they would be establishing a research and development office here, partnering with, you know, ISU and Illinois Wesleyan, and they would bring a potential of 400 to 600 jobs to the area. You know, that's just one ripple effect of a conversation that we're having about the complex.